Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. My name is Tim Hetty, and as usual, I got my friend Rod Fox over here. How's it going, Rod?
Good morning, Tim. It's doing well.
Good, good. Fairly inactive week, but
dry. I mean, wow, what a resounding commonality we're having throughout this whole. Well, you know, we're getting into the fall time, and the farmers are taking those crops out like crazy. You don't have to worry about Mother Nature really stepping in. You know, she's done her bit already this year as far as making, you know, certain areas of Iowa doing okay.
Right.
Other areas, the drought is. Has caused some real issue, and you know, we're seeing it. And
well, and as I talked about last week, the farmers around my house are pulling out like 200 bushels an acre, which is way more than they thought they were going to get.
Yeah.
Apparently,
yeah, absolutely. There's other parts of the state that, you know, it's not so good, but you know, hey, every day is another day.
Yeah, we'll just what are you going to do?
Yeah,
take the bad with the good, I guess. So, and I'm certainly no farmer, so I'm not trying to give a crop report here.
If it's good for you, great. If it's not, well, you know, just stick around. Iowa weather will change. Maybe different next year. We don't know.
That's right. So you were telling me over at Midwest Basement Systems that the majority of the calls and questions and stuff that you're getting are related to settlement.
Yeah. Right now we're looking at a record number of foundation settlement, foundation movement issues as far as leads that are coming in. You know, we have an intermix of weather-related type of calls with waterproofing and mold and things like that. But this year, hands down, people are who have had settlement issues in the past that have ignored them. Those issues are becoming so prevalent that they can't.
Right, and it's within like a short period of time too.
Exactly,
you know, we're hearing a lot of, you know, all the settlement I'm seeing has happened within the last month to 6 weeks.
Right, we're hearing the stories of people that were saying, "Hey, I was laying in bed last night and I heard a shotgun sound go off, and it was it was literally their foundation breaking. A portion of the structure shifted to the point where." Drywall cracks, I mean, extreme drywall cracks where you know, you can put your fingers between the cracks. They're that big. So, you know, and people are just, they understand it's probably from the drought, but they're not understanding, you know, why now. I mean, you know, my house is 50 years old, Tim. Why is it happening now? Well, we haven't seen this kind of lack of moisture in at least 80 years.
I mean,
in a lot of these homes that we're seeing, you know, were built in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, even up to homes that were built just a couple of years ago. They, you know, the soil conditions in areas, especially new development areas, where used to be a farm field a few years ago.
Right, or they filled in a ravine.
Right,
or,
and they did some backfilling, and that soil that the home is sitting on is not a what we call a virgin soil. It's a soil that has been, you know, brought in, graded over, and then dug out again to put a basement in. So it's sitting on this this unstable soil, and then, you know, adding in the amount of moisture that we don't have,
and then even what they consider to be engineered fill.
Right.
You know, we just can't put it in like.
Yeah,
you know, it's been sitting there, and Mother Nature's been packing it down for the last bajillion years.
Right, that's just it. This unstable backfill, even though they say that, you know, it's graded and tampered and whatever else, you can't foresee this kind of condition without some kind of like a pre-construction style peering system that gets past what we call an active zone. That zone of influence where the soil conditions are so affected by the amount of moisture that's in them.
Yeah. And that's, you know, typically, what, 20 feet?
Yeah, you know, here in Iowa, it varies, but we see it from, you know, anywhere from 18 to about 30 feet in certain areas.
Really?
And it can go deeper, and it can be shallower, you know, depending on the soil layers. But every home's different. I mean, that's why, you know, if you're sitting there in your house and you've got these kind of issues, and you walk over to your neighbor's house and there's no problems whatsoever, and you go, well, You know, is this a craftsmanship issue? It's absolutely not.
Right.
Your home in that location, the soil conditions are affecting it. You know, and that's why even, you know, one side of your house is moving and the other side may not be.
You know, and one of the things I thought was interesting, and I was at your sales meeting the other day, and some of the common theme that I thought was interesting was how many of these problems are being misdiagnosed.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the other thing.
Man, can you imagine spending – I mean, fixes are expensive.
Right.
And I don't want to quote prices here or anything like that.
No, because everyone's different.
You know, yeah, we're talking about expensive fixes and to have it misdiagnosed and treated wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's like if you need a double bypass and they come in and treat your kidneys. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Because yeah. nothing, you have not solved any of the problem.
Yeah, and, no kidding. You need a double bypass, but they put a band around your stomach so you'll eat less because that'll make you healthier because you got right. too fat from eating. No, that, you know, you're absolutely right. We see...
it's just bad engineering.
Yeah, we see, you know, and a huge amount of people that, you know, and like you said, Tim, that are now being introduced to what a structural repair costs. And, you know, there is some sticker shock. There really is. But people have to understand when you're looking at protecting the value of probably the single largest purchase you'll ever make in your life is your home, whether you live in five or six, it doesn't really matter. But unless you're an entrepreneur or a small business owner, you know, these kinds of purchases, the majority of us, you know, this is going to be the largest purchase, and
right.
not repairing them is, you know, I mean, if you need to find the money, you're going to find the money. I mean, I don't care who you are.
There's money out there.
There's money out there. Yeah, you may have to save up for a while, but you're going to come up with the money. But the issue is not repairing it creates so much more damage because
right.
it becomes exaggerated the higher up we go. Roof lines start leaking. Aesthetic drywall problems, floors are out of alignment. You know, you have everything in your home can be so affected by it. And I mean, I've been into homes, and I know you have too, where people will do a $20,000 remodel of their kitchen, and they'll put in ceramic tile floor, and they'll have all the nice appliances put in, and you know, they'll have granite countertops. They'll have a huge amount of weight that helps shift, and if this stuff moves out of alignment, guess what happens? It damages itself.
Right.
You know, we're not looking at you know, linoleum that can flex. We're talking about ceramic tile that's going to break. We're talking about granite countertops that, you know, if given the right set of circumstances, will break. You know, it's there's so many things that people have to take into consideration when they're looking at trying to decide whether or not they want to make the investment to repair the home. I've had, and you know, I hate to say this, but I've had people that I've met over the last month who, based on the investment that they made in the house and based on what the cost of the repairs are, will just say, oh, I'm just going to let it go back to the bank. And you know, I have to bite my tongue.
Since about 2008, there's just way too much of that going on.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be my.
Yeah. No, and I do. I have to bite my tongue because, you know, when you're talking about some of these dollar figures, these people see no end in sight. They don't see any opportunity where they could ever come up with the kind of money necessary. But that's their knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
They haven't sat down and said, okay, let's take a look at the long-term effect of what's going to happen to me if I did this. A, where am I going to live? Because they're going to am I ever going to be able to afford a house? But you know, if you spread the investment out over the years that you're planning on staying, you know, if it's I'm just going to throw a number, $20,000 repair, and you plan on staying there the rest of your life and you're 30 years old, is that investment to protect your home
right, it's not
worthwhile?
That big over the course of
exactly,
the next 30 years
that's
or whatever.
Exactly. Right. You have to break it down in that aspect. You can't look at this is such a large ticket item that I'm willing to throw my hands up and create chaos for the rest of my life.
Right.
So, I mean, that's
and I think there's probably nothing more serious on your credit report than giving a house back to the bank.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm actually surprised that you're hearing that, but I guess, you know, some of these items are high ticket items. And the thing about it is, you know, when you talk about does it add value to my home, no. It doesn't.
No, yeah, that's right. You're not adding a room addition.
But
it's an absolute protection of your investment. You know, it is, you're paying for the repair. A lot of people would hope that homeowners insurance policies would take care of it. You know, talk to your insurance man. But our history with this is that you know, that cycle of soil contraction or expansion that creates, you know, some of these issues also is not a covered item.
Right. They hide behind the act of God, or there's usually a clause in there where
worth trying to fight your insurance company over it, you know, taking them to court to see whether or not it is, save your money.
Believe me, they've probably got better lawyers than you do.
Well, if you ever signed anything from a bank or from an insurance company, there's pages upon pages upon pages of stuff that I bet 99% of us never read.
Well, I didn't read it.
Yeah, and those clauses that are in there are not there to protect you.
Right.
They're there to protect the company.
You're getting a cheaper rate maybe on the insurance from the other guy, but let's face it, you're probably not getting the coverage
that's exactly
like to
right.
see. So, well, when we come back from our break, we're going to continue talking about various settlement problems and what can be done. And, again, this stuff is so easily misdiagnosed, so it's important that you at home get a good understanding. It's tough to do over the radio, obviously, but we're going to do the best we can. So we'll be right back with more Around the House. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we're talking about settlement issues as they relate to all this dry weather that we've had. And right on the way over here, you were telling me about a situation, and this is what I'm talking about. It is so easy to misdiagnose problems when there's cracks in the walls and, you know, a guy doesn't have a full understanding of everything going on.
Right.
And you were talking about some a street creep issue.
Right, and I think we'll touch back so people understand. It's a term that in the industry we understand, but you know, if you went out and sat down at Hy-Vee Deli with a bunch of people having a cup of coffee, and you brought up the term street creep,
right,
most people would look at you like, "What are you talking about?" Well, what street creep is? It's the unrestricted expansion and contraction of the street as it comes in contact to the approach of your driveway. And then to your, which then translates into your sidewalk and garage. And so we typically see these issues at T intersections, in cul-de-sacs, and at the end of a drive where maybe there's a left or right turn. So you have an L turn either going left or right. And the people that are being affected are those that are in direct alignment with the street. So if there's unrestricted shift and movement, and then it's expansion and contraction of the street, that's why we have expansion joints that should be put into every driveway, you know, every garage floor.
But they're only good for so much.
Yeah, I mean, typically, maybe a half-inch board is all we see.
If you get an entire street pushing on your driveway and then pushing on your house, I mean, that you don't have much forgiveness there.
The damage that can occur is immense. I don't think people understand it. I was over here in Urbandale a few years back, and they had two structural engineers, the city of Urbandale, and a couple other repair contractors. In fact, they had a gentleman that had actually built the house. Come back over and take a look at it, and he was unable to figure out what was going on. They thought it was a settlement issue. As soon as I got over there, I was able to diagnose what was going on, showed them the signs of the damage that correlate with street creep, and they were absolutely right at the end of a cul-de-sac. And they said the big trucks come down all the time down their street and either push snow or they're doing something that's creating shift
even the vibration of big trucks.
Right. So literally what it was doing is the center portion of their house on the backside of the garage was kind of pushing out. So it looked like there was a wall bow in the whole house. And after I explained to them what was going on, you know, they called the city back out. They had some negotiations on how it was going to be repaired, what we were going to do.
Who was going to pay for it?
Who was going to pay for it? That's the big issue. I mean, we've had this issue with other cities that will absolutely, positively say that this phenomenon does not exist. And, you know, what basis do we have? We're able to provide them with the engineered documents that show what this is.
Well, and usually, if somebody has an objective viewpoint, you can walk them around and show them physical evidence at the house. I mean, I know what you're saying. A lot of guys are going to just flat out say this doesn't exist. But it does exist and there's repairs for it.
And, and that's just it. Once we get past the fact that, okay, we're not talking about liability, you know, and that's where you get
right,
some
and
of the
it really
pushback.
For us at Midwest Basement Systems, that's not our job.
Yeah, that's then that's just it. We're not here to post blame to anyone, post liability to the city or the homeowner or the builder or whatever it is. What we're doing is diagnosing the actual effect of what is happening, how it can be repaired, and you all can decide who's going to pay for it. That's not our part of our deal. We're not here to lay blame. What we're here to say is this phenomena does happen.
Right.
And beyond that, so what we're seeing now is we're seeing the effects of street creep at homes that aren't in the cul-de-sac. They're not at the end of a T-intersection. They're not in at the end of a turn at an L or right or the end of a curve, you know, into a curve. Where we're seeing it is some of the homes that are – the newer homes that are being built in a manner which the driveway has such a pitch, such an angle going down towards the garage that the soil conditions are shrinking that are allowing this unrestricted movement of just the driveway itself, not the street. That driveway and the weight of that pushing up against their garage floor is actually creating more damage. So in the past where we haven't seen the whole street to have to do it, we're actually seeing just the driveway. The driveway itself is shifting because the soils are shrinking. And the angle and weight of the driveway is pushing against that garage.
And, you know, folks, if you want to, there's a really easy way to tell if this is happening.
Yeah.
You know, just go out to your garage. And right inside the garage door, there's little short walls on each side of your garage door. Look down at the concrete where the concrete floor meets the foundation.
That's
and if
right.
there's a gap there.
If there's a gap.
Then you probably have some street creep.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking about a gap. Then you go to the back of the garage. And if that's all squished together.
Right.
You know, that means that garage floor is moving. And the reason it's moving is more than likely exactly what we're talking about.
Right. You know, sometimes people misdiagnose and want to get mudjacking on their driveway because the right where the garage and the driveway meet, there's some displacement.
Right.
And a lot of that times what it is one area is trying to override the other. And a lot of times what we see is it's the garage that's either pitching up and going into the driveway pitching up and trying to go over the top, but most of the time it's going underneath. So it looks like the driveway is settling 2 or 3 inches, but it's
right.
that unrestricted push, and then it meets this resistance with your garage and your house. So it's got to go somewhere. It's either going up or down, and most of the time gravity continues pulling down, so the soil is easier to move. So you'll see where it's a drop. Customers would be like, well, I just won't need to get that mud jack back up. Now, agreed, it's got to be raised, but, you know, this is a symptom of a cause. Now, we need to fix the cause of it.
Right.
So we're able to diagnose and get people an understanding that it's just not soil shrinkage.
And
you're actually seeing that unrestricted movement.
A lot of times if there's like a driveway approach and then a sidewalk and then your driveway, it starts pooching up or pooching
up.
And, again, we're not saying that the legitimacy for mudjacking is not there, because it is. A lot of people just need concrete raised.
Right.
But this goes back to what we're talking about. A lot of these problems are simply misdiagnosed.
That's correct.
Is this settlement, you know, in the sidewalk, or is one side of the sidewalk being pushed up because
That's
of
right.
the street creep?
That's right. There's a reason it's moving up or down, but, you know, just to say it's soil shrinkage, you know, would be, irresponsible to say it that way.
Right, exactly.
Someone who's looking at it doesn't understand the science behind the physics of what's going on with that unrestricted
And let's
movement.
Say that you have, let's say, you know, a lot of times in these newer houses, you've got your garage and then there's basement sort of behind the garage.
Right.
So they see the basement wall starting to bulge in, so they misdiagnose that and they somehow anchor that wall,
right?
Whether it's through a beam system or an earth anchor system or a helical system, you know, there's 100 ways to skin a cat there,
right?
But that's not the problem, so it doesn't fix the problem.
That's correct.
You know, it's not just normal soil expansion; it's the street creep. And
that has to be dealt with.
That is probably the single biggest misdiagnosed problem that I have
I would absolutely agree because people don't understand what's happening.
Right.
And there's not enough education out there. And if you have that, we have a fix for you. I mean, this isn't one of those things where you look at it and you go, don't worry. It's
gone as far as it's going to go.
Yeah, that's right.
That's ridiculous.
Or guess what? It's fall, so the heating season is over. The expansion should be done. This doesn't retract.
Right.
It doesn't all of a sudden go, all right, let's move back up the hill or let's go back into the cul-de-sac. The damage is there. The resistance against your foundation is there. The resistance against your garage floor, which is pushing on that wall, is still there. We need to give that relief.
And, talking about the fix, it's actually a fairly simple fix. All we do is take a slice out of the driveway and put a bigger expansion joint in it so that the street creep, basically, it will continue to happen. So eventually you run out of that expansion too and you have to redo this. This is not a one-time and you're good for the lifetime of your building. It doesn't work that way.
I thought about this one time when I was talking to a customer about street creep and we got to having a pretty good conversation and I said, I would shudder to know how many garage floors and driveways have been replaced with the misdiagnosis of what's going on with street creep, thinking it's just a failure, in either the garage floor or the driveway. It's like I'm just going to get a new driveway, because of the way it's cracking, the way it's pitching up, and they put a brand new driveway in and the same thing happens all over again. It takes a little bit of time because, usually expansion boards are put in. But they're not enough, and they're typically about a half inch. We have to create a pathway for this unrestricted expansion.
And I think the ones that we put in are, 2.5 inches or three inches?
3 inches.
And
even then, that's not to say that
eventually that's going to squish down.
An absolute permanent repair that's going to take place. So
we have to get to a break pretty soon. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more misdiagnosed problems and some things that people are doing to fix these problems that, you brought up replacement.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen other things replaced? So we'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. We're talking about misdiagnosed problems that occur in homes and some of the things that people are doing to fix the problems. And you had brought up, Rod, replacing garage floors and replacing driveways to fix a street creep problem.
Right.
And, we see this kind of stuff all over the place, like your foundation's settling, so it's starting to crack up. So you replace the foundation, but you've done nothing about the underlying issue of fixing the settlement issue.
That's correct.
And so your new wall probably weighs as much or more as the old wall, so it starts to settle too. So you're all of a sudden you've got this huge expensive fix and you didn't solve the problem.
Right.
That's why it's so important to diagnose the problem correctly. Bowing walls, walls that are bowing in. I've seen a million walls replaced, or not a million, but you know what I'm saying. I've seen a lot of walls replaced, and they never did anything about the underlying issue that made the wall bow in.
Right.
So a few years later, we get another call. We go out there, we take a look at it, and Mr. Jones or whatever your name is, you have the same problem you had before.
Right.
And you fixed it improperly, so we still have the problem.
Right. One of the things that we found, it's human nature to look when we know we've got a problem. We know it's probably not a low-cost repair.
Right.
We keep looking for someone to give you that low-cost type of estimate. And when I say estimate, I mean estimate. It's not a quote. An estimate is something that we in the industry typically find is double the time, double the cost of what you're looking at when you see the dollar figure on an estimate.
Right.
A quote means that this is the repair that's going to take place and this is what it's going to cost. It's just hands down, folks, somebody comes in and says and gives you such an unreasonable dollar figure that makes you look at, oh, finally, my knight in shining armor is coming in to tell me that, this quote that I've been receiving from other companies that's, thousands and thousands of dollars, this guy can do for $2,500. This is what
is
I was that hoping
practical?
For.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
this was what I was looking for. I was looking for that dollar figure. I don't care what he said. You know, I was looking for somebody who could give me the palatable number, the something that I can say, yes, I can put that on a credit card, or I've got $2,500 cash, I can do it. And then all of a sudden you allow somebody into your home to start, proceeding with this kind of repair, and they get into, you know, this is where I'm going to go back to the Ten Commandments of hiring a contractor, because is it actually even reasonable to think that the kind of repair that you've been quoted can actually be done? Because what happens if they come in, excavate around your foundation to do a repair, and then look at you and go, hey, I need, more money because it's worse than what we thought originally, and you refuse, and they walk off the job.
And that happens. It happens. Yeah, I mean, this stuff happens on a daily basis. Yeah. And the unfortunate part about it is, I've heard these stories from the salespeople at Midwest Basement Systems, where they go and hey, this is what it takes to fix the problem.
Right.
And everybody agrees that this is what it takes to fix the problem.
Right.
Yet this other guy can do it for this amount of money, but he's doing so much less of a job. And then almost every time.
Yeah. And that's
later
where,
on.
Yeah. That's where we are so adamant about. If you think that, getting a second quote or another, getting some other advice, absolutely.
It's the smart thing to do.
It's the smart thing to do because, if you haven't had us out, have us out. If you've had a couple of people, and it may not even be the work that we do. I'm just talking about the projects in general. If you've had two estimates and they're within a couple of $1,000 on a larger ticket project, you probably are in there. And then all of a sudden you get the one guy who comes in and he's a third of the cost of everybody else. Wow, red flag. I mean, that is the red flag.
Sometimes you're better off doing nothing.
Yeah. And I've told customers that too. I've said, they want to, we propose a repair and they want to, do half of it. And I usually ask why, and it's because it's the money issue. They can only afford. And I've told them, I said, until you can afford to do this properly, doing half of it can create more damage. You can actually see where trying to do a portion of the repair is actually going to be, more damaging to the home. It's hey, Tim, I'd like, let's just talk about, bracing a wall.
Right.
Can I have every other, I know you need eight braces. I do four?
And this happens all the time. And I heard about this one particular story where we were going to brace a wall. It was bowing in. We were going to brace this wall. I don't think we got the work.
Right.
But the homeowner asked one of our competitors, okay, you needed 10. He's like, well, I can do it if you go to 8.
Yeah.
And, the guy did it.
Yeah.
And that just seems so ridiculous to me. Who wins there?
No
one. The homeowner doesn't get the job done properly.
Right. The foundation is still going to have
the
issues.
Yeah. The contractor, if they have any integrity, will honor the warranty and go back and probably put two in for free later.
So there's no profit to them.
So, yeah, he's lost money. So what good is that? I mean, what good is that for him, his employees? Let's face it. We're all set up the same way. We got to have a profit, otherwise we can't stay in business.
Yeah, I had another one of those happen.
Regardless of what the government tells you.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't want to go down that road.
I had another customer, same type of thing, was proposed from another. I mean, we went up against one of our competitors. We do this all the time, and the competitor had told him, hey, could you do it for one less? And I could probably afford it. And sure, we can do one less. Why was that one proposed to begin with? If you can do it for one less.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so once we were able to kind of explain to a customer that, a sale versus, the project being done correct are two different things.
Right.
You do the right thing for the right thing or for the right reason, you're never going to lose. So.
Right. What are you going to do? I mean, later on, the problem's not solved. I mean, and even for the homeowner, even if the contractor comes back and does the right thing and honors the warranty and puts that last one in for free.
Right.
You're torn up. I mean, you've probably got further damage that's not covered.
You probably have more damage because it was done improperly.
Right. So I don't know. My feelings are strong about this kind of stuff. I don't want to have I don't want to be sold something that's not going to do the trick either.
Right. Right. And if I know what it's going to take and it's more than I can afford at that moment, then, I am going to save up for it so it's done correctly. Too many times people look for the cheap repair because it answers some of the question of what's going on, and they look for that Band-Aid approach and then people will make that decision. It's like, well, okay, let's do this and then let's get out of this house. You know, they want to escape the issues that are facing them. And I've had customers tell me this. It's like, I just need, you know, something so I can say that I did a repair, and then we're getting out. It's like, well, why? I mean, were you moving for a job reason, or are you so worried about what's going on at that house that you are trying to escape future repair costs?
Right, and how many times, for one thing, that sounds good for the homeowner, I guess, but it doesn't sound good for us because we're still married to the job.
That's right.
You know, our warranties are all transferable. But how many times, like, let's take a waterproofing issue. Like, the basement's getting water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do a Band-Aid repair that doesn't work out. They sell the house to somebody else. They move to a house and realize that there's a water problem there, too. You know, and you left the first house because of the water problem.
Right.
This happens every day. Right. I mean, people do this kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of times our job... you know, not really to sell you the house again, but to try to remind you why you like the house in the first place.
Right.
And the fact that, hey, this is a great house in a great area with great school district.
We hear it a lot. And just fix it so I can move. Fix it so I can move. And it's like, well, but if we fix it so you don't ever have the problem again.
Why would you move?
Why would you move? You know?
You're going to pay all this money and fix it for somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And then, like I say, it happens every day where they move to a house and then, oh, my God, they lied on the disclosure or something else. And
right.
We see these things going to court and just...
Nobody wins.
Well, the lawyers win.
Well, yeah, and, that's true, but I'm not a lawyer, so
I'm not an attorney.
I'll just say nobody wins.
You know, personally, and this is going to sound horrible, but I think they ought to throw out the disclosure rules. Or at least a good portion of them.
Well,
because, you know, people are lying. I mean, people know how to... I'm not saying everybody lies. A lot of people are doing the right thing. But, you know, a lot of the realtors have become accustomed with how to word things on right. their disclosure statements. You know, yeah, there was a water problem down there, but they did something about it in such and such a year.
So that somehow alleviates my liability or my responsibility to say that there is still an issue.
Yeah. And, you know, now that we're... You know, on realtors, and again, I'm not bashing the industry because there's a lot of really good,
respectable, great realtors
out there. But I have been in situations where the realtor, you know, tries to make light of something. Oh yeah, they had a little moisture in 1993.
Yeah,
that's like the token line. You know,
right.
Well, okay, yeah, they did. The little bit of moisture was a river that kept coming through for the next 10 years.
Right.
You know. And I've seen realtors get hauled into court, and just a mess.
I had a real estate agent one time. It was kind of funny. I ended up not going there because they said that what they wanted me to say before I got there. They told me what they wanted me to say when I got there. And I said,
really?
Well, that's irresponsible for me as a representative of our company to give someone false information. Well, I just don't want you to kind of squirrel my deal up, you know, because this person's about to bite, and, you know, they're... For some unknown reason, the inspector told him that this was an issue and it should be checked out. And, you know, I just don't want you coming in and telling them it's going to cost $10,000, $20,000. And I said, but what if it costs $10,000 to $20,000 to make the repair? Well, then, you know, we'll figure something else out. And I said, listen, I said, I'm not here to hide information from anyone. We don't, that's not a kind of a practice that we make.
I'm not getting hauled into court with
and
you,
I, and
okay?
I said, if this is the path you want me to go down, I said, then you're probably going to have to hire another contractor. And they said, okay, thanks.
Yeah,
and that's what it was. And
I've had realtors call me and being irate because our salesman would not put into writing that this basement was fine. And then I'll call the salesman. And the salesman will say, well, the basement's not fine. You know, this is what needs to happen, and I'm not putting anything in writing.
Right, right.
So, anyways, we'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and somehow we got off on the realtor tangent there. And but, you know, again, I'm not saying that the disclosure rules are not a good idea.
Right.
But... It's like everybody's figured out a way to get around them. How do I word stuff to where nobody's going to find out about my leaky basement or my cracked wall or
right.
or my leaky roof or whatever? And believe me, they've
well. I mean, it's created a little bit of a you know culture where people will. I'm not really lying to you, but I'm not really telling you the truth either. You
right.
know, because people consider. The disclosure law. Now, if there's no problems, people feel comfortable saying, nope, never had water, never had a foundation issue, never had mold, never had this, never had that. But people are trying to minimize their risk of loss of money and trying to maximize what they can get in the sale or purchase of a home. And with that has come a little bit of this culture of, well, you know, like you had said before, it happened, but it, you know, we took care of it.
Right. We put in a sump pump, even though we all know putting in a sump pump will not waterproof a basement.
Right. You know, we, you know, there's a structural issue. Yeah, but we put urethane in that crack, so it's taken care of.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
What does that mean? Urethane?
You know, well, I guess the wall won't come in now with a flexible caulking in the crack.
Right. I mean, you what, made an aesthetic repair? I was at a house that's been on the market for quite some time. My original estimate for was at like $42,000 worth of peering.
Wow.
Huge amount of damage. And I went back, and it's been, I think it was like 6 weeks ago, I went back to this house. And when I was there, it was in 2011.
Okay.
The house is still sitting empty, still trying to be sold. And I had pictures from when I was back there in 2011 of all the damage that was happening. They had hired a drywaller and someone to come in and do some tuck pointing work, who was very, very good at what they did. If you looked at it from the inside, mm-hmm. you'd have never known that there was some damage. Now, on the outside, they weren't unwilling to spend the amount of money necessary, because it was an all-brick house, to have the cracks and stuff feathered back in, where they would – typically they have to move about 3 to 4 feet on both sides of a crack to then feather and put the brick back in, so you can't notice the extreme mm-hmm. nature of damage that's happening. So they didn't do that. So from the outside, everybody's like, "Well, what's this? Oh, that's, you know, the mortar giving way." It wasn't. It was the settlement issues. I went in, made my measurements upstairs where there's no cracks anymore, where in the foundation wall on the inside, they had retuck pointed and then painted with this kind of a almost a darker gray, so it blended so well that I was able to go over and I was able to show where the new where they had retuck pointed. But I showed this to a gentleman who was interested in buying the house, and I said, you know, I can't, you know, if we're looking at repairing this home, you know, this is what the price is going to be. And he goes, you know what they did? He goes, the disclosure shows no structural issues at all.
Wow.
And I'm like,
and why would they do that? I mean,
I don't know.
The realtor,
it's a
obviously,
real estate agent is actually selling the house now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the homeowner who is just understands that this kind of hit is going to take all the profit out of their out of the sale of their home. But there's a serious problem here. Mm-hmm. Someone has to address it, because whoever's going to buy the house is going to see those aesthetic damage occur again. Because
nothing about the actual underlying issue.
Exactly. You know, these, I mean, it was wonderful. I mean, I had fantastic photos of huge cracks in door frames and doorways and above, you know, above, there's kind of a cathedral ceiling in it and along one area. And I had all these photos, and you walk back in and there's nothing. There's no cracks. That's the one thing. Whoever repairs drywall, sometimes we kind of laugh and go, wow, you know, Mr. Fix-It really, against any company. Your local handyman just didn't really know how to do drywall. Well, this company did. Whoever did this drywall was fantastic. If I knew who it was, I'd have him to my house to ever do drywall. But the problem of it was is the underlying issue is still there. It's the home is still for sale. There's enough.
And what is the value of this home? Because
you're talking probably a $280,000-$290,000 house.
All right. So we're not talking about a $50,000 house that needs $40,000 worth of repair.
Right. No, and that's just it. So, and it's a really, really nice home. It's uniquely designed. But the issue of it is the damages on the outside are going to have to somehow try to be hidden before somebody's going to look at it and go, hey, I'm getting a house without any problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're probably talking another $10,000 worth of repairing just to try and hide the exterior damage with the tuck point. And, you know, it's – and the guy who, you know, thanked me, and it was a friend of one of the guys who works for you, and he said I won't even put a bid on this house, because I was looking at it thinking, hey, maybe, you know – I can get some of this damage. And after I explained to him what was going on, because I'm going to be honest, you know, there's no reason I'm going to attach our company's name to a problem that someone has tried to hide.
So you probably really impressed the realtor there too.
Well, I didn't meet with a real estate agent.
Okay. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, what this actually does when you're selling a home. any problem like this, you know, and it could be a roofing problem. It could be, you know, any real major problem. 92% of the people won't even look any further.
Yeah.
Okay. If you've got a basement water issue,
some kind of structural issue, or
a roofing issue, 92% of the people are going to walk. They're done. They don't even want to see the house at any price.
Well,
the other 8%, you know, are the informed people. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, buy a house with a water problem because you have it fixed and then you get a warranty. And
well, what's uniquely different is we've been able to show real estate agents, and it's an educational process. I mean, hands down it is. You just can't, by faith, these people aren't going to change a lot of the ways they do business unless we're able to show them. But educating someone in the industry and to tell them, it's like, hey, if you're doing your first initial walk around and you as a real estate agent know, okay, I've been in enough homes, I see that there's an issue, hey, let's address this right from the get-go before we ever put it out on the market. You know, it may be something that you don't have enough money and we have to throw it into the escrow of the sale of the home to get it fixed. But let's not look at hiding it. You know, let's be upfront right away. Let's find out what it's going to take. Sometimes it may not be, well, we know this, Tim, that the repair is always less than what a customer is going to get offered or a homeowner is going to get offered in the repair. You're always going to be undercut, you know, to say, hey, listen, you know, if a repair is $5,000, well, you know, if you give me $20,000 off, I'll take care of it, you know, after I own the home. But as a real estate agent, what we've been able to show is that if we can get those things taken care of up front, that house is going to sell quicker. The commissions are going to be larger. The buyer is going to be happier because all the issues have been addressed. The seller doesn't have to worry about, is someone going to sue me later on because I minimized or my real estate agent told me, oh, that's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Well, you know, they can take care of that with some caulk and some paint. You know, that's not an issue. All these things being handled in the proper upfront way, everybody wins.
Yep.
Everybody wins.
Exactly. You know, and the good quality realtors, you know, the people that you see around town and they're in it to win it.
Yeah.
They don't list homes with problems.
Right.
You know, and it's not a volume game with them. They don't want to sit there and say that they've got 300 houses listed because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
They want to list good quality properties. They want to sell good quality properties. They want good commissions. And they're actually making a good living at it. It's the guys that are just, they don't care, you know.
I don't want to get to my commission?
Yeah.
I don't want any bumps in the road. Well, you know, sometimes there are going to be bumps in the road. Not all properties are in perfect condition. But dealing with it up front, everybody wins.
Right. I know realtors that, you know, if they discover that there's a water issue in a home, they will not list the home until it's fixed.
Yeah. I think that was one of the famous statements by one of the guys who you and I know, is that I can list a home not to sell it, but I choose not to waste my time.
Right. And, you know, it's not free for them either.
Right.
These homes show up in the newspaper. They show up on the internet. There's time. There's money spent. You know, why would they list a home knowing fully well that they're going to have a hard time selling it?
Exactly.
You know, when I can only list, I mean, I don't know what a realtor can effectively list. Do you know?
No, I'm sure it's, I don't know if there's, and actually work that property, you know, I'm guessing depending on, you know, their
level. Well, it's one thing to just say, hey, I've got a listing. It's another thing to say, I am motivated to work hard for my client.
Right. And that's just it. And it's ever changing because of the sales that they have, but they're looking for those good listings again because, let's face it, that's how they make a living.
Well, you know what? When I bought my house out by Elkhart, we actually fired our first realtor who I had bought from before, and I had worked with him before, and he had lied to me about something on this house. And, you know, it had nothing to do with the structure or anything like that.
Yeah.
He knew he couldn't get away with anything like that. But
that's right.
But, you know, he had lied about the fact that, you know, they always tell you, well, somebody else is looking at the house. You know, as many properties as I've bought and sold over the years, that's always the case. That house could sit there for a year and a half completely empty.
That's right.
But as soon as you start looking at it,
yeah,
I guarantee you, you better buy it right now and give me a bunch of earnest money because
exactly.
I got eight other guys looking at this house.
It's amazing how all of a sudden I got eight other people looking at it. So.
Well, we're almost out of time, and it's too bad because we didn't get to even close to what we wanted to talk about here. But if you need us, we're at Midwest Basement Systems. You can get on MidwestBasementSystems.com. Yeah. Or you can give us a call, 1-800-556-5697.
Locally, 515-289-1606.
Or just stop in and see us, 5153 Northeast 17th Street in Des Moines, and never hire a contractor you can't find.
Okay? Absolutely.
Go to the website, read through the Ten Commandments for hiring a contractor, and follow as much of that as you can.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll talk to you next week.